So, good morning, and I want to thank my co-authors. Some of them are on their way or sitting in Beijing right now. We have a version of this at the Health Systems Research Conference that is happening right now. So I got delegated to come here, and they went off to Beijing. I have no financial disclosures. For those of you who have not really worked in Africa before, I just want to briefly introduce Northern Nigeria. The study I'm going to be talking about was done in Jigawa, Katsina, Yobe, and Zamfara. This is in the far northern part of Nigeria. It is an Islamic area of the country. And in 2005, there was a huge upwelling of anti-immunization sentiment, and basically the whole primary healthcare system sort of shut down. So what do you do when you sort of have to completely restart the whole system? And that's what our program has been involved in doing. Our program is called we call it PRIN, M-N-C-H, and you can see there's so many, you know, it's Partnership for Reviving Routine Immunization in Northern Nigeria and Maternal, Newborn, and Child Health. So it's a big mouthful, and so everybody just says PRIN. And in addition to trying to revitalize the routine immunization system and get away from just having the, you know, the three-stop polio campaign, we have been working very closely in partnership with the state governments, the local government areas, to get the primary healthcare system working, have there be real functional planning, have there be product flows, money flows, human resource training. There is a national midwife service scheme, but it really hasn't been operational in the north. So there are lots of things going on in Nigeria, but they just weren't being applied and working well. So we've worked hard to tailor them. And one of the things that has been a big issue is, I think you can hear it from Dr. Kelly's presentation, that the part of the functionality of a community health system has to do with people wanting it. And you heard it from the JUMCED presentation too. So a lot of what we do is also generating that demand. So it's not just fixing the healthcare system, but also trying to get a different relationship going there. Because absent all that, the mothers say they ignore us. They call us villagers. They have no reason to go to that primary healthcare system because they feel disrespected. So we have to build trust in primary healthcare. And the reason that I'm speaking with you is because I'm a fundamental believer in community health workers, as have been our presenters. And this is something that has been of real interest and concern in each of the states. So each of the states has developed an idea for how they want to have community health workers knit together the people in the community who otherwise have no reason and no desire to go to that primary health care system. There are community health workers. In fact, 38% of the health workforce in Nigeria is comprised of community health extension workers, CHUs they're called. But most of them are really just sitting in the clinics. They are the ones who give the immunizations. They are the ones who look at your baby when you come in with a sick baby. They're not out in the community. So what we are trying to do is develop with each of the states pilot programs for how to do it in the community. So the alternative models that emerged from each of the states, and each state had a slightly different version, and then we developed a integrated program for community-based service delivery that, regardless of which of the models for where the community health workers are going to be based, they would have that training, they would have the tools, and the nurse midwife who is based in the clinic would be part of that supervision process. So we also tried to cover that integrated supportive supervision element. And in some of the states, it was a low-intensity that means that the community health worker is more doing outreach in the community, but not living and working in the community. But in two states, they are living and working in the community. And if you're familiar with the Ghana CHIPS model, the community health and service model, that's where the community health worker actually has a home that is built, and she lives right there, so people can come to her all the time. So that was the other thing that was piloted. The other part that's built into this is that there's a control area where the state-level activities are going on, but we didn't have any community volunteers doing community engagement, and we didn't have any community health workers at all. So the study design... Oh, this is a picture of the woman in the foreground here is one of our community-based community health workers, and she's actually preparing to do an information session with the women there. She's in Jigawa, and this is right in front of her compound. So our objectives were to evaluate which of these models works best and how does it compare to not having any models at all. So our study design is a pre-post study design. We did a baseline survey in all of the state, subdivided into the control areas and intervention areas. In 2009, it used a DHS-type survey methodology. And if you're familiar with the population surveillance program of INDEP, we have an INDEP site that's nested within this, so we also use some of the INDEP questions also. And then we went back again for the midterm survey in 2011. Mind you, the community health worker programs really only got launched a year prior to this, but even though there had been a lot of the state-level changes going on. So today I'm presenting only the results of the bivariate analyses. We're comparing the baseline to the midterm or the initial follow-up survey. We're going to be doing an end-of-term survey in the coming year. And then a comparison using chi-squares for the differences in degrees of change that are observed when you compare the control versus low-intensity versus high-intensity. So there's no multivariate results. You're not going to have to struggle to look at logistic regression results, but we are, in fact, working on them. So what did we see? And in this, there's a series of slides here. The light blue is the baseline, and they're always going to be on the left. And so the baseline, this is the proportion of women who sought antenatal care. And you see that at baseline, basically two-thirds of the women had no antenatal care, none whatsoever. And at the follow-up, it dropped down to only about a third didn't have any. And you can see by the green, which is the far right there, that the greatest reduction of no use of antenatal care is in the high intensity. So I used a consistent color scheme. So if you get it on this slide, it'll help you throughout. Consultations with the nurse midwife, it did not change that much. We didn't expect it to change that much because that's sort of a constant across the whole area. But look at what happened once you start training the community health workers to actually do antenatal care in a sort of a interactive way so that people respect and want it. It goes up from the facility and where it wasn't even offered in the community before. Now it is being in the scene. Done in the community as well. We asked women about the danger signs of pregnancy, and the knowledge of two or more pregnancy danger signs increased from 52%, and it used to be things like swelling or headache, and they never mentioned the really serious things that could happen, to 69%. So the awareness of the critical danger signs also went up significantly, from less than 2% knowing any of the critical ones to 33% in the low intensity and 56% in the high intensity. We didn't have as great a change in the proportion of women who are delivering with a skilled birth attendant, and we're continuing to work on that to develop more ways to and get more confidence and more interest in having delivery, but still these were some changes that did show up as being significant. So this slide's a little hard to look at. Probably start at the bottom, the no one. And you can see that in the baseline, women didn't learn about how to take care of their newborns from anybody, by and large, 75%. At baseline, and having no one who gave them any healthcare advice about the care of their newborn dropped down to only a quarter. And it, as you can see by the successively smaller bars in the communities that had the higher intensity community health worker intervention, they're getting more and more information. They're seeking more and more advice. And the other thing that I want to call your attention to is the CHW and the community volunteers. You can see that they're getting advice from people in the community health workers who are now trained to talk about newborn care, and from the community volunteers. So the other thing, and I think a previous presentation brought this up also, one of the issues is, even though there is still a very high level of home delivery, are the newborns being checked? Is their health being checked? And so you can see here that there is a rise in the number of newborns who are being checked, and it's greater in the communities with the higher intensity intervention, with the community health workers living and working and being in the community. And also breastfeeding starting within 24 hours has gone up. More women know about immunizations. We asked in the baseline survey and in the midterm survey, do you know when the first shots are due? And you can see there's a big increase there in their understanding that this needs to be done right away. The number of visits, that's another thing that went up. And have they got the permission of their husband? Because that's a very big, important thing in northern Nigeria. Women are not going to go to the healthcare post. They're not going to do anything, especially not get an immunization for their child, unless they're sure that their husband approves of it. So having a standing permission from the husband for this is one of the things that the community volunteers really work with the husbands to make sure they understand, with the mothers-in-law to make sure that the woman has permission to get her child immunized. And you can see that went up very dramatically. So this slide is very busy, but if you, the main takeaway message is that all of the top lines in green are much bigger than the blue lines, both the control and the baseline, that the immunization rates went up dramatically, which was, I frankly didn't expect them to go up this much. I was very, very pleasantly surprised. So here's the big result that, again, we didn't think we were going to see anything like this happen this quickly. And remember that the community health workers are not the only actors here. There's a lot of other things changing to make this healthcare system work. But you can see that the infant mortality rate is in fact coming down, and the under 5 mortality rate is coming down compared to where it was at the baseline. It is still high. We still have a long ways to go, but these results are in fact very encouraging. And when we finally got all the data cleaned and we're comfortable that we thought, okay, we really think these are the rates that we can go with, people were really quite taken away, because it was more than we had expected. You usually say, oh, well, maybe. So after only 2 years of implementation, this PRIN pilot of alternative community health worker models is really starting to show some impact, not only on the behavior, the sort of the knowledge side, the awareness side, but also on some of the key indicators in terms of maternal and newborn care-seeking behaviors. Women are getting health advice that they never got before, and much of it does come from the community health workers. And the community volunteer. I, I didn't put it into this presentation, but I'd be happy during the question and answer period to tell you a little bit more about how this is articulated. There are women's groups also that enter into this process. As those of you who've worked in the community, you know that the women's groups are key actors in matters such as this. That the greatest improvements are seen among the communities where there are more interactions with the community health workers. Get the community health workers out into the community, get them talking, make sure they know how to talk to women, that they are going to women's homes, sitting there, spending time with them, and you can start to see results. That the greater use of advice plus the changes in the care, the network, suggest that this model of building trust is really an important one. And the evidence of the declining infant and child mortality rates suggests that we're starting to get all of the right system elements together here. It's not without its challenges. We still, of course, need to do the multivariate analysis to help us understand. One of the things that I wasn't able to include in this, obviously for lack of time space, is that as we found with the baseline survey, the women who are the most vulnerable, those who have absolutely no exposure to the educational system, whose families have the most precarious food security situation, are also the ones who tend not to have as much of an involvement and response. And so we're going to have to be working harder to make sure that we get to them. But the multivariate analyses are going to help us identify who is really part of this change and where do we need to reach out and do more. The programmatic challenges still remain. We have the nurse midwife scheme, but they tend to stay for 6 months and then leave, so that there's this turnover. And fortunately, the British aid organization is very aware of this, and they have just launched a new program that we're actually going to be leading. I'll be a part of it, called Women for Health, where we're going to be training, retooling essentially the schools of health technology so that they actually can bring in women, get them trained as nurse midwives and community health workers, and then have a supportive process so that when they complete their training, they actually go back to their community and stay there so that it's not this continual get training and then get siphoned off and go to the cities. So we have a lot of challenges programmatically, but we think we're on track here with the model. And I thank you very much for coming today and for listening so intently. And I'll be happy to take questions later.